Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 16th of May, recording at 3:53 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, the highlights of the week, this being the big picture long-term outlook as far as the various asset classes were concerned. For global stock markets, it was a pretty good week overall. Almost everything rallied. And Vietnam was an exception. That was discussed yesterday in the email comments. But today, we saw also follow through on the upside, although gains have been cut back and Wall Street is declining. And the one simple reason for that, I believe, is the strength of crude oil prices, which pushed up to a new high at 127.82, although they have subsequently backed off that by a dollar and a bit. So Wall Street's down at the moment as I speak, not much, 47 on the Dow. Okay, what else to mention here? Long-dated government bonds are firmer today, albeit within ranges. And the dollar has weakened, and interestingly, I noticed that precious metals were quite firm. Most metals actually have been quite firm. Copper, for instance, is up 10, is it 10 dollars? Or that's 10 cents. I think it takes it back up to 383. That's the U.S. COMEX price. But gold is currently up over $21. Here today, and silver is up 35. And I'd noticed this earlier strength and was interested to see that. I attributed that to crude oil because the dollar was not weaker when I first noticed it, but the dollar has subsequently weakened. I don't know if there's cause and effect there, but quite possibly, or else it's very, very good anticipation by some traders. But the dollar index still within its range, but is down 389 ticks at the moment. And for instance, the euro has rallied up to 155.53. Mind you, it had been under a lot of pressure, but the lows near that sort of one, and the low 150s region are holding now, at least for the time being. And in as far as the agricultural commodities are concerned, they're mostly firmer. I think all of the base metals are up at the moment as well. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, the message from the charts certainly is that we have a firm tone here for stock markets generally. And as you may have noticed, if you've been following Comment of the Day, I've been leveraging up my long futures positions. That's the way I'm playing it because I don't want to add new money to stock markets at this time. I've got quite a bit of money in stock markets in my long-term personal portfolio, but I use the leveraged trading account to either hedge short if I don't like markets or to leverage up considerably if I do. And I've got a spread of futures positions longs, as you may realize. So I think the environment is favorable. That doesn't mean that there aren't lots of problems around. There's the credit crunch, there's the global economic slowdown, there is the slowdown related to the global economic slowdown of corporate profits, there are the inflationary pressures. Now, as far as the food inflation is concerned, as far as the credit crisis is concerned, even though it's not over, it's yesterday's story. And I mentioned often in the past that for a negative story to go on traumatizing markets, as that one certainly did, the situation had to be seen to be deteriorating. And I think we can see that it is gradually improving, albeit it'll be a long convalescence, as I've said all along, for many of these financial institutions are the worst affected. financial institutions. The headwind for stock markets that I do worry about is the crude oil price. That's the big one here right now, and that's about the only one that I see as being a problem. And because valuations had improved enormously, as I've mentioned over and over, we had the dramatic selling climaxes in January and again in March. There's a huge amount of cash on the sidelines. That's the fuel for the next advance, and some of that money is coming back into markets, as we can see with the overall rising trend. Yes, confidence is not strong, but it never is in the early stages of a recovery. Weigh it all up though, and I maintain that this is still the first psychological and structural phase of an important stock market recovery. And if it continues as I'm positioned for, that's just a vote of confidence, and obviously has nothing to do with whether it will or continue or not. But if it does continue, then we will be entering the second and often quite lengthy psychological and structural phase of a recovery, when there's less shorting, so that reduces supply, and when we also see the uptrends steepen a little bit, not accelerating, but whereas in the first stage you get a lot of ranging and it just looks neutral. Although you have clues in the form of higher reaction lows that demand is beginning to get the upper hand, that's the bullish signal. But in the second perception phase, people are less willing to short, so that reduces supply. They can't afford to stay out of the market, at least the institutional investors can't afford to stay out of the market, but they're very nervous, and so they're quick to take profits. And because they're very nervous, they hold back a fair amount of cash as well, while putting some back into the markets. And they take profits quickly if markets are moving higher, or chop losses quickly if they're not. And that keeps a fair amount of liquidity on hand. It's the so-called wall of worry environment. Now, I don't think we've entered that yet, although we obviously have for some markets that are mainly resources that are doing much better overall. But I still think this is in an uncertain world, and let's face it, always a dangerous world, that this is not a bad opportunity here for stock markets. Although, as I've said on a number of occasions, we're not going back to the Goldilocks scenario of not too hot, not too cold, just right, as the fable goes. We won't have that because of inflation, which is here to stay. That's been a long-term fuller money forecast, as veteran subscribers will know. But equally, I don't think we need to panic over inflation, and there will be swings and roundabouts. And I've also mentioned in recent weeks and months that recent weeks that the food price inflation has peaked in terms, at least in terms of futures prices, not in terms of what we actually see in the shop, because that lags and that's still catching up. I think the inflation will also stick around because in terms of those retail prices, first because firms are having to raise prices, and as the global economy picks up steam again, very slowly pick up steam, but it will. I've never been in the global recession camp. That will give many of these companies further pricing power, but as I say, not enough to create a horrendous problem anytime soon, in my view. So balance it all out, weigh it all up, balance it out, and it's a favorable environment for equities, which I maintain offer the best value of the various different asset classes. And the key driver: liquidity, liquidity, liquidity. Okay, what about the dollar here? Well, I think it's suspect. I've got a good email on the dollar in Comment of the Day today, which I've posted already. I think at best we get, well, we've had a short covering rally. Those inevitably occur periodically, and some people are actually positioned long in the dollar. But we have to remember the US is printing dollars like mad. And we also have to remember that the US interest rates are going to stay low for a heck of a long time. Some people are talking about hikes coming before the end of the year. I think no chance. And I know Bernanke would like to do that. He'd like to think that the economy was strong enough to justify that. But no way, not with that very weak housing market, the overstretched, indebted consumer. There's not going to be any interest rate hike from the US this year. There may be rate hikes elsewhere in stronger economies. So interest rate differentials are negative for the US, and everybody knows that the US doesn't really want a stronger dollar. It needs a soft dollar for the to just to help that export sector of the economy. And it has certainly been doing that, and that's been the really attractive part of the most attractive part of the U.S. stock market recovery to date. Industrial metals, well, if shares are a leading indicator, these are going to be picking up again. Copper, aluminium, nickel, zinc. Because we're just seeing the mining shares race ahead. Now, they get overextended from time to time, and then they're subject to big eyebrow raising 20-30% reactions. It's all part of the game, but as you can see from those long-term charts, it's all within the long-term upward trends, and I think I certainly expect those trends to carry higher, albeit in a volatile fashion from time to time, over the next few years. And what else to mention here? I think that's pretty much it. Resources are in bull markets overall, but the foods became the most extended. And the foods are also the area where it is least difficult, I won't say easy, but it's least difficult to increase supply. You just plant more and hope that the weather is reasonably decent and that you have sufficient water. So, which is partly to do with the weather, obviously. And it's much different with the crude oil production and with the other minerals that need to be dug out of the ground. So all those Fuller Money themes basically remain intact, I believe, and offer us some real opportunities. That's it. I'm going to zip over and say hello to the TCS delegates, and I look forward to recording for you and commenting on markets in the written copy next Monday. Meanwhile, you have the best of weekends.